Praise to the God who is our good shepherd, the one who restores our souls, guides us in greater love, and who goes before us in laying down life for friends. Amen. Please be seated. Let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is described in many different ways, but his role as a shepherd is one of the most prevalent. Growing up, this was one of my favorite ways to think about Jesus. I loved looking at artistic depictions of Jesus caring and guiding for little lambs and sheep. It always made me feel loved, protected, and cared for. This picture of Jesus caring for his flock of sheep who depended on him also connected with my experiences growing up. While my family never raised sheep, we did raise chickens, ducks, and geese. I remember working with my dad and my brother to ensure our bird flock was kept safe from wind, rain, extreme heat and cold, and most importantly, predators like foxes, skunks, and coyotes. If you have any experience working on a farm or raising chickens or ducks, you know that if any of these predators get into a chicken coop or duck house, they could quickly wipe out your entire flock in a matter of moments. Because we cared for our animals, we did everything we could to ensure they were safe. It wasn't always easy. It was often exhausting. And we got plenty of scrapes and bruises. But it was worth it because we took our responsibility to the animals under our care and protection seriously. In our gospel this morning, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd and then explains exactly why. Because he lays down his life for the sheep. As we look at this passage together, I'd like us to think about what that means and how Jesus describes his agency and power in being willing to lay down his own life for his sheep, for us. In doing so, we can see how Jesus radically redefines and challenges our ideas of self-sacrificial love and the true nature of power. Jesus' declaration that he is the good shepherd here in the Gospel of John comes about halfway through a more extended section of teaching where he uses an analogy of a shepherd and sheep to describe his ministry. A few verses earlier in John chapter 10, Jesus illustrates to his listeners that the true, legitimate shepherd of the sheep is the one who enters the sheepfold through the main gate. However, only thieves and bandits, those intending to steal the sheep for their selfish gains and purposes, bypass the gate and jump the fence. While this seems pretty straightforward, there's more here than meets the eye. Before and after Jesus, many would-be messiahs made grand messianic claims about themselves as they tried to rally their followers to form anti-Roman revolutionary movements. These men, appealing to nationalistic and religious fervor and claiming the title of Messiah, rallied their followers to take back control of Israel through military might. Each time, they failed. A term sometimes used at this time for these would-be illegitimate messiahs was bandits, and Jesus minces no words in describing these false shepherds as bandits or thieves, killers and destroyers. By way of contrast, Jesus describes himself as not only the shepherd who enters through the gate and to whom the sheep will listen, but as the gate itself. In other words, Jesus isn't merely a claimant to the title of Messiah who happened to find the right way to go about things. Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. The very gate through which we enter and are saved and brought into the fullness of eternal life. Again, Jesus distinguishes himself from those would-be messiahs and counterfeit lords by laying bare their true motives to steal, kill, and destroy. These motives are driven by a desire for personal gain, glory, and power. But Jesus is wholly focused on the good of his sheep, that they might have life and life more abundantly. Here we reach the crux of Jesus's teaching. Jesus is not merely a shepherd who happened to get most things right or have the most effective ministry plan. Jesus is the true shepherd because he is the good shepherd. What makes him so? He lays down his life for the sheep. As readers and hearers of Jesus's words post-Easter, the gospel speaks to us of the willingness of Jesus to suffer and die, death on the cross, on behalf of his sheep. This self-sacrificial, other-centered love displayed by Jesus is beautifully captured by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Philippians, who spoke of Jesus as the one who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, assuming human likeness, and being found in appearance human, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. This deep, profound love the true shepherd has for the sheep is contrasted in our gospel with a mere hired hand who cares for the sheep only when there is financial gain. They don't honestly care for the sheep, and when the wolves come to scatter and kill the flock, they run, because they don't truly love the sheep. They only love the ways the sheep can benefit them. This is, again, a powerful critique of false messiahs. And here is the crucial difference. A false messiah asks the sheep to die for them, but the good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep. This fundamental distinction marks Jesus as the good shepherd. Rather than using his followers as pawns to achieve worldly success, Jesus radically reverses traditional power structures and lays down his own life for those he loves. Jesus goes as far as to say this is precisely the reason the Father loves him, because he lays down his own life in order to take it up again, speaking of his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. But the recasting of traditional understandings of power doesn't end there. Jesus clarifies to his listeners that his life will not be taken from him, as if he had no agency, but he lays it down of his own accord. Jesus is clear. He is not some passive victim, but is laying his life down of his own volition. Why does Jesus take the time to clarify that his life is not taken from him, but is given by his own active will? One way to look at this is to marvel at the restraint Jesus is showing by not exercising divine power, by immediately putting an end to the entire passion narrative and escaping this brutal, excruciating death. For example, in the Gospel of Matthew, following his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, one of Jesus' disciples reacts violently to the arrest of Jesus. He pulls out his sword and cuts off the ear of one of the people coming to arrest Jesus. In response, Jesus commands him to put away his sword, assuring his disciple, "Do you think I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" With the implication that Jesus willingly restrains his divine power to allow himself to be taken away and crucified. If understood in this way, then yes, it's clear that Jesus is not a passive victim of worldly powers outside of his control. And while that could be very well part of it, I don't think this is the heart of what Jesus means here. After all, if we're to model Jesus's self-sacrificial act of love by laying down life for others, the true power of the act can't simply be found in restraining power that could get you out of that situation. In our reading from 1 John, we are reminded we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and that we ought to lay down our lives for one another. If Jesus is a model for us in self-sacrifice, that model wouldn't be much good for us if the only reason it was a true sacrifice is because Jesus restrained his power. I don't know about you, but if I was ever in a situation where I could model self-sacrificial love, such as giving of my finances and time, or using my voice or my body to advocate for the marginalized or the oppressed, and I qualify that act with, "Well, you know, I totally could have gotten out of this at any time that I wanted to, but I didn't, so you're welcome." Somehow, that doesn't seem like the self-sacrificial love Jesus was going for. I want to suggest that Jesus is modeling something deeper and more profound when he says he has the power to lay his life down and take it up again. This is a power that every one of us has, and that is the power to use our agency to rob oppressors, violent people, and anyone who seeks to harm or degrade others of their power. This is not passivity or inaction. This is an active, willing subversion of oppression and violence. As the biblical scholar and theologian Walter Wink writes, by exercising this power of self-determination, you are saying to an oppressor, I deny you the power to humiliate me. Your status does not alter that fact. You cannot demean me. Jesus, in actively laying his life down for his sheep, was not merely restraining his power, but modeling for us how to love self-sacrificially in the face of powerful forces that seek to kill and destroy. Forces that we all know can be terrifyingly powerful. But despite all that power, as we follow in the example of the way of Jesus, we can disarm the powers and strip them of their ability to dehumanize by laying down our lives willingly. Jesus, in willingly laying down his life even unto death on the cross, rather than granting control to his tormentors, robbed them utterly of their power. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus continually compels us to rethink and reevaluate the true nature of power. In our gospel this morning, we face another radical inversion of how the world reckons power. True power is not found in controlling others, but in laying down one's life for others. As the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, writes, so God is at once known to us as here in sovereignty, but the gospel teaches us it is a sovereignty which is only and always the sovereignty of self-giving love, of cross and resurrection, of life through death, the sovereignty of suffering transfigured. Jesus reveals to us the true face of God as the crucified one and how to move forward in action through self-sacrificial love for others. Jesus, our good shepherd, has gone before us in death and resurrection, disarmed the powers of darkness, and bids us come follow him. Lord, as our good shepherd, help us be worthy of your calling to follow you in self-sacrificial, other-centered love. Amen.